down to the Christmas season. So we're going to read the story in Luke chapter 2 and then focus on a certain thought this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1, I'd encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. I hate to stop so soon and digress into something, but can I say this? I am thankful for our English Bible. I'm thankful for our King James Version, because I find it very easy to understand. When I read this, I understand that in that certain time, that certain period, there was a taxing that took place. I have no problem understanding what a taxing is. Now, the reason I say that is because the modern Bibles that our society has come out with in the past years have changed that word taxing to census. All right, in the NIV it says that all the world should take a census. The New King James Version says that everyone should be registered. And all that does is throw questions into the mind of people that we as Bible-believing Christians don't even know what we believe. In fact, I found, when I was researching and studying, I found a website that is a website for teaching children like ours at this time of season, and the lesson was from Luke chapter 2, and they said this. They said this register or census, whatever you want to call it, they said this took place in 6 to 8 BC, which was 4 to 6 years after Jesus was born. And Luke made a mistake in why Joseph and Mary came to Bethlehem. Now, this is not a skeptic attacking the biblical account. This is not a doubter. This is someone that's teaching the Bible and yet questioning the very things that the Bible says. So this morning, I'm thankful that when I sit down in the morning and I open my Bible and I put it in my lap and I read it, I can know that I'm reading every word exactly like God wants it to be. I don't have to wait for the next translation and the next version to see what they're going to change and how they're going to change it. I'm glad I've got the Word of God. In verse 4 it says, "And Joseph went up also from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. I want to preach a message this morning I have entitled, The Steps to the Manger. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you this morning for that which we've already seen and heard. We thank you again for our young people downstairs and for the teens that are up here with us. God, those that work with them, those that sacrifice of their time and efforts. We thank you for the wonderful program they put on for us here this morning. God, I pray you'd even bless them, bless the Bruners as they're down there working with the children, teaching them now. Father, bless our service here. Help us to focus on what happened that led them to that manger scene. God, help us to get something not only from history, from the biblical account. But Father, as always, your word is applicable. Your word has meaning for us today, and Father, the lessons that we're about to see this morning are so real to us. So I pray, Father, you'd open our hearts to your word. Lord, may you make us, may you mold us. May you conform us to the image of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to be less like the society we live in and more like the God we serve. Bless your word now. We pray especially should there be one today that's empty and without Jesus Christ in their heart and life, that God, you, by your Holy Spirit, would speak to them this morning through the preaching of your word. And that, Father, by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they would receive eternal life. Bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 16 is what I want to focus on this morning, the last verse that I read. And it says this, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Luke is the only one that uses this word manger. He uses it three times here in this context. And the word manger simply means a box or a trough out of which the animals ate. I think sometimes when we talk about the manger scene, we're taking in the whole picture. The manger is actually the little crib, the little trough in which the baby lay. It is the focal point of that nativity scene. It is the thing that we look at while we see the others that are around it, the shepherds and Joseph and Mary. It is the manger that we focus on. And this time of year is a wonderful year to focus on that manger. To you and I that are believers, we appreciate that manger scene. To those in our society that are not necessarily believers, we're thankful that at least they still acknowledge that manger scene. And to those ever increasing atheistic people, they are angered by that manger scene. Wanting equal rights, wanting to put up something that celebrates the season in some other strange and unknown way. Everyone is familiar with the scene and can identify the three people in that nativity or manger scene. And it is this time of year that we celebrate the manger scene, but while the focus is on that event and in that place, we need to recall that there were a lot of things that it took to happen to get those people to that place. When we see a nativity scene, whether it be the one in front of our courthouse in Cambridge, whether it be a live nativity scene that churches and others put on, or whether it be small children posing as Mary and Joseph with the manger and the baby. When we look at that scene, we see the finished product. We see the culmination of what God did for thousands of years to get to that point. I preached last Sunday on the road to the manger, and I focused on the fact that the manger did not start when the people were gathered there in that scene, but it actually started all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve took of the fruit and plunged all of mankind into a sinful spirit and a sinful attitude and in rebellion against God, which necessitated Jesus Christ coming into that manger and then later dying on the cross. So there was a long process of things that it took to get to that finished product, to get to that manger scene. It's a beautiful scene. Joseph and Mary with the babe, the shepherds gathered around, the sheep that they were tending that they brought along with them as they surrounded that baby in the manger. It's a wonderful, a glorious, and even a victorious scene. But often, as in so many things in life, the steps to that led to that finished product are not so beautiful. The things that happen before we get to that final scene are not so wonderful. The steps along the way to the manger are not always victorious. There can be a lot of heartache. There can be a lot of questioning. There can be a lot of discouragement along the way before we get to the final scene. And such was the case with Joseph and Mary. In the steps that led them and eventually resulted in the manger scene, there were some very difficult steps. Before we look at Joseph and Mary, let's think first of all of Jesus. The one who was the babe laying in the manger. The one who is really the reason for the manger scene. And he is the one that came the farthest to get to the manger that day. He was the little baby laying in the crib. When I say he came the farthest, we think about the journey of Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, approximately 80 miles, a 4 or 5 day trip with Joseph walking alongside, Mary riding the back of the donkey, 9 months pregnant, trying to find a place to stay and no room in the inn. When we think of that journey and the troubles that went with it, it pales in comparison to the journey of that baby laying in the manger. Because that baby made a journey, not of miles, but he made a journey from the highest heaven all the way down here to earth. We can't associate with that. There's nothing that we can see in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taking on human form and coming down here to earth that we can say, oh yes, I can relate to that. Nothing about that relates to us. That little baby, the Bible tells us that was looking into Mary's eyes and cooing in the manger scene was God in a human body. We can't understand that. We can't comprehend that. How the second person of the Trinity could come down from heaven and limit himself to the womb of a woman. And for 9 months be confined. He's God. He's God, but confined in the womb of a woman. And then he's born and has to be nourished by his mother and raised by his so-called father and mother and trained by them. How the God of heaven could limit himself to that, you can't understand and you can't explain. One of the popular songs of our day, Mary, did you know? And as she looks upon that child, did you know that your babe is the God of all creation? For Mary to hold in her hands and look at that baby and realize that the eyes that were penetrating from inside that was the eternal God. You say, preacher, explain how that can work. I can't. But here's the problem. We can only accept it. What we can't understand, what we can't explain, but the Bible declares, we simply accept. There are many folks today that have problems with that. If they can't get their head around it, then it must not be true. If they can't explain or understand it, then they will not accept it. And here's what someone wisely said many years ago concerning Jesus being God in a human body. The second person of the Trinity. They said this, that if you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. And that's true. If you try to figure out, Bible, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And if you try to understand the Trinity, we try to explain it to young people, to children. We use water and say water can be in three different forms, but it's still water. It can be a gas when it's heated up, it can be water in its natural form, it can be ice when it's frozen, but it's still just water. We try to use human explanations to define the Trinity, and they still all fall short. To try to explain it and understand it, you'll lose your mind. But try to deny it, and you'll lose your soul. And there are a lot of folks that are denying God and not accepting God, and they're going to lose their soul. That babe in the manger is the one that made the farthest trip to be there that night. So there's not a lot about Jesus that we can relate to in this life. So let's move on. If you're in Luke chapter 2, I'd ask you to back up one chapter and let's get a little preview of what we've already read. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Luke chapter 1 verse 26. We've talked about Jesus, the babe in the manger. Now let's talk about Mary. Mary, the mother of the babe. Notice if you would in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now we cannot associate with the journey that Jesus made. And can I say this as we begin? Mary, again, her situation is quite unique. Nothing like what happened to her had ever happened before that. And nothing like what happened to her ever happened again after that. It's a unique situation. We can't go back to what happened to Mary and say, well, I can get something out of that. It's never been duplicated. But think about this. Before this day that's recorded in Luke chapter 1, this young woman named Mary had a normal life. Even this day, she probably got up that morning like everybody else did, got herself cleaned up like all around her, maybe got her breakfast that morning and then went out and did her chores and did her daily assignments and got her day started like she'd started every other day before that. And this day started out just like every day in her life, a normal life under normal circumstances. One thing was new in her life, and that is that she was engaged. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a good man. He was a carpenter, and though he would probably never give her a wealthy life, she was looking forward to a happy life. She was looking forward to a simple life. And for Mary, her future was all in front of her and all before her, and everything was going according to plan. But then all of a sudden, she gets news that is not only going to interrupt that normal, simple life, but it is going to permanently and drastically change the direction of her life for the rest of her life. One day, just like any other, that she rose in the morning and started about her business with her hopes and dreams for what was yet to come, and then all of a sudden, something happens that just interrupts the whole thing and changes the whole scene. Now, that's something you and I can relate to. That's something we can understand. We have all had something happen in our life, something unexpected, something unprepared for, that interrupted our normal schedule and our normal circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about a flat tire on the highway. I'm talking about something that alters the circumstances of our life and maybe even alters the direction of our life. This is what happened to Mary that day. Look here again in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30. Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the Bible says this, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. This pronouncement by the angel that day was both startling to Mary and puzzling. Mary is going to come to accept what the angel says. Look, if you would, we'll skip down very quickly. Look down in chapter 1, down at verse number 46. We're going to find that Mary gets a handle on what's happening here. And eventually she says in verse 46, My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. In these verses, which are entitled Mary's Magnificat, or her song, Mary gives praise to God for what he's doing in and through her. And it's interesting to note that the reason Mary can handle this situation is if when we read those 9 or so verses right there, or these 10 verses, there are 33 Old Testament prophecies that are mentioned by Mary in 10 verses. You know what that means? Mary, as a young maiden, knew her Bible. And when something happened in her life that just shook her up and startled her, she had somewhere to go. She had something to help her. Why do we teach the Bible to these young children? The world says, well, you're indoctrinating them. No, we're preparing them for life. We're preparing them to handle the difficulties that come. We're preparing them to handle the changes in their dreams and hopes and futures that will come to so many of them. And Mary was able to handle the change in her situation because she knew her Bible. And she knew the God of that Bible. But can I say this? Let's go back a little bit before this time. Though Mary accepts and somewhat understands what's going on here, before she gets to that point, she experiences what we experience when something happens that interrupts our normal cycle. When something happens that we're not prepared for or that is unexpected that comes into our life. Here's what Mary said. Look at verse 34 of Luke chapter 1. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be? How? Mary responded to the unusual circumstance in her life with a question. We can relate to that. Lord, how did this happen? Lord, what are you doing? Lord, why? Mary is just like us, that when confronted with this extreme change and all that she had prepared and all that she had thought of and all that she'd hoped for, when something interrupted that she was not expecting, she answered with a question. Can I give you some comfort this morning? Don't think that you're failing God when you question His dealing in your life. Don't think that you're denying God when something happens and you say, what? Why? How? That's the normal reaction. Now let's be like Mary and work our way through that and get to the point where the comfort of the Scripture gets us through those trials. But understand that Mary reacted the same way you do when those things interrupt your life and unexpected, unpleasant things come along. And for Mary at this point in time, you understand, it was an unpleasant thing. Oh, it's going to become a wonderful blessing, but it wasn't at the time. And the same thing happens to your life and mine so many times. Before we get to the manger scene, that beautiful scene, that wonderful scene, that victorious scene, before we get there, there are some steps along the way. There is some questioning. There's some heartache. There's some puzzlement. And then there's Joseph, the third person in the manger. The babe is the one that we tend to focus on the most, and rightfully so. God manifests in the flesh. Then we tend to look, our eyes tend to go toward Mary, that one that was so used of God to bring that baby into the world. The mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the mother of God, but the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, and almost reluctantly, our eyes kind of turn and look at Joseph kneeling there. Part of that scene. Look back, if you would, not in Luke, but look back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's consider Joseph and his steps to the manger. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says this. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Notice those words in verse 18 at the end. Before they came together, she was found with child. Now I'm leaving off the last four words because at this point Joseph doesn't know the rest of the story. He doesn't know that she's with child of the Holy Ghost. He just knows that this woman to whom he is engaged and to whom he's never slept with is with child. It's a beautiful scene at the manger. The baby laying there and Mary with the smile on her face and Joseph with the proud look on any father's face. It's a beautiful picture at the end, but it wasn't always that way. Because here's Joseph getting the news. Here's Joseph finding out. Here's Joseph having his whole life changed. When he hears these words, Mary is with child, the questions run through his mind. What? How? Who? Joseph, like Mary, has the normal reactions that you and I experience. So again, can we say, don't get so distraught when God does something in our life and our first reaction is to question? Don't worry about that. That's normal. But understand that if you want to get to the manger scene, there's going to be some steps along the way you don't understand. You and I formulate our life. I know as a young man, graduating from high school, I had my whole life laid out in front of me. I knew exactly where I was going to be, what I was going to do, where I was going to go. And can I tell you this? At 61 years of age, I am not where I thought I'd be. I didn't go where I thought I'd go. And I'm not doing what I thought I was going to do. Everything's been changed. And that's true of most of us in our life. Very few of us reach the point of when we were young thinking, this is what I'm going to be. Life changes everything. Circumstances alter things. And I'm thankful that I know that at least in my life it was the hand of God that did it. And we all need to have that confidence. Mary came to conclude that. Joseph will get there. But all the steps to getting there are kind of rough sometimes. While his whole life is ahead of him, Joseph is there preparing for his marriage to Mary. A sweet young girl, a beautiful young girl, a pure young lady. And then in an instant and in a moment, he hears something that's going to shatter his dreams and his hopes. Before they came together, she was found with child. We don't know how Joseph found out. We don't know if the way he found out was the way we find out so many things of bad news, by gossip, by rumors, by the whispers of people. Maybe Joseph found out. He heard what was going on and he overheard the conversations and finally someone had the nerve to actually tell him. And they came to him and said, Joseph, here's what's going on. Here's the rumor. Here's what we've heard. Mary's with child. Or maybe it was Mary herself, being the kind of woman she was, that went to Joseph one-on-one. Said to Joseph, we've got a problem. Something has happened. I don't understand it. I'm not sure what's going on. Joseph, I can assure you, I've been faithful to you. I've not broken my vows of our engagement, but something has happened. I don't know how Joseph got the news, but I do know this. In either situation, we can picture the shock. We can picture the disappointment. We can understand the heartbreak that Joseph endured at that time. Can I remind you again? The manger scene is beautiful. It's clean. At least the way we portray it. No foul smells. It looks wonderful. Everybody wants to drive by and look at it. And it is a wonderful scene. But it took some very difficult steps to get there. So what does Joseph do? Look at Matthew chapter 1 verse 19. Matthew chapter 1 verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her way away privately. Instead of making Mary a public spectacle, instead of blowing up the situation, he decided to handle it privately. What a wonderful lesson. And Joseph, being a just man, the Bible says in verse 20, and while he thought on these things, you know, for a man, Joseph, who pops up suddenly in the Bible and then disappears just as suddenly. The last time we see Joseph is when Jesus is 12 years old. Mary and Joseph have been to the temple to worship and they're traveling back home. And as they go back home to Nazareth, as they get a couple days away, they realize Jesus isn't with them. They have to go back and find him. And there's the story of Jesus' reunification with Joseph and Mary at that point. And after that, we never read about Joseph again. Many like to speculate on what the Bible doesn't tell us. There's so many folks that spend all their time speculating on what the Bible doesn't tell us instead of focusing on what the Bible does tell us. We don't know what happened to Joseph. We know that just as suddenly as he pops up in the narrative, he then disappears. But yet at the same time, we learn some wonderful lessons from this man on faith. And the Bible says in verse 20 that while he thought on these things, think about this. Before he acted, he thought. Before he reacted, he thought. Remember that next time one of those situations comes into your life. Remember that next time when everything's going just as planned and something unexpected and unprepared for comes along. Don't react. Don't be quick to act. But be like Joseph, who thought on these things. He spent some time in contemplation. He thought these things out. He went over them in his mind. We would say he prayed. Had he acted too quickly, had he reacted, how different would the story be? If he'd have gotten that news and followed the customs of his day, Mary would not have survived to bring forth the Christ child. But because Joseph was a just man, he thought on these things. And that delay allowed God time to work. That delay allowed God time to work. Too many times when those unexpected and unprepared for things come into our life, we react. We act. Now there are times, and I need to explain this so you understand. There are times where the king's business requireth haste. There are things where you have to do things and you have to do them now. We're not talking about procrastination or putting things off. But we're talking about some situations that come into our life that the best thing to do is nothing. Till you can think. Till you can contemplate. Till you can pray. Because had Joseph reacted the way that any other man would have reacted to that situation, he would have put her away publicly. It would have been the end of their relationship. And the story would have been forever changed. You see, before we get to the manger scene, that beautiful, glorious, victorious scene, before we get there, there are some rough steps along the way. Before we get to that beautiful picture, there are some uncertain steps along the way. Before we see that wonderful sight, there are some puzzling steps. Lord, why? Lord, how are you going to work this thing out? Lord, what are you doing? Joseph and Mary experience those things. And you and I experience those things almost every day of our life. Not understanding the working of God so many times. not understanding the circumstances that come about, and yet remembering the promise of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Are you one this morning that could say, yes, I love God? The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes the reason people have things happen in their life that don't turn out for good is because they don't love God. They're not trusting Him. They don't have what Mary had to rely upon in their difficult times. And therefore they act. They react. When they should be thinking upon these things. What is it the Lord's done in your life in the past that's changed the direction, been unexpected and unprepared for, and yet now you can look back and say, yes, now I understand what God was doing. What is it that you're going through right now? Maybe not all of us, but some of us right now in life. Situations, circumstances, things are happening. It's not beautiful. It's not a wonderful scene. It's not victorious. We're still taking the steps to that final place. Just as there are were steps to the manger, there are steps in your life to mine and mine that are going to work out for good in the end, and it's going to turn out beautiful and wonderful and glorious. Maybe not in this life, but at least in the presence of God. But it's rough along the way. Can we, like Joseph and Mary, overcome the difficult steps, the heartbreaking times, the unexplained occurrences, yet trusting God and come out at the manger when it's all over? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. What a wonderful